Welcome to the latest edition of the Court Report. I am Jerry Price. I'm here with Princeton women's head basketball coach Courtney Banghart. Coach, welcome.
I'm glad to be here.
I was thinking that we don't have too many more of these for the year.
I know.
I was only like, what are we going to do? We should just keep going every week
forever.
And we can find something to talk about.
Oh, for sure. Yeah.
We could actually like sort of expand this beyond women's basketball. We could talk about like pop culture and politics and religion and
absolutely.
And we could really go down some paths.
We could really with the two our two Ivy League degrees finally put them to good use, right?
Yeah, but let's start with basketball for right now. So the season's winding down, the tournament's coming up, the Ivy tournament's coming up, and then the postseason beyond that. Your team beat Dartmouth, lost to Harvard, Penn. Also lost to Harvard, so one game ahead of Penn, two games to play. So you need one game, one win to clinch at least a share of the championship. Two wins clinches an outright championship, or two wins, or whatever combination of your wins and Penn losses that adds up to two. The Ivy tournament appears to be set with the four teams, correct? It's Princeton, Penn, Harvard, Yale.
You got it.
And mathematically, at least, Yale could still be the number one seed.
No, they have. I don't know. You would know better than me. We're not going to deal with. We're not going to have to worry about that.
But anyway, all of that added together brings us to the weekend that just happened and the one coming up. So it's 6:30 tip off Friday against Brown, and then Saturday tip off is
5 o'clock.
5 o'clock against Yale. That's also National Girls and Women in Sports Day.
And senior night.
So let's start with the last weekend. I watched the game against I watched both games, but I watched the game against Harvard on the bus coming back from the lacrosse game in Virginia, the men's game in Virginia, which to me, first of all, is fairly fascinating that this is where we are now. So that it used to be maybe possibly there'd be one men's basketball game a year on television, or maybe two. And then, you know, we used to try to put games on satellite. So, like, it would say, like, that the channel was, you know, transponder Y and, you know, whatever. Yeah. Like, but now it's sort of taken for granted that you can pretty much watch any game you want to watch. And when the game is not on, you know, I wanted to watch Sacred Heart men's lacrosse. They were playing Dartmouth, of all teams. And that was at Sacred Heart, and they couldn't stream that game because they had other games going on. And I was like, how could you not be streaming a game?
There
so, like,
go.
Now you're in a world where anybody can watch any game.
Yeah.
What does that do for the growth of your team? Not the sport, per se. Maybe the sport, but just the, you know.
I think it for us and for me, I'll start with for me, it's such an affirmation of how many people care about what we're doing. And that I'm able to reflect on my players. You know, I get off, I get on the bus and I have, you know, I pull my computer out and get ready to start watching the game that we just played. And I have just very many emails from really supportive alumni on the men and women's side and other friends in the community that are interested in our result and interested in how we played. And as you said, we're able to kind of to tune in. And so it's allowed me to see, especially on the road, that the community that we have about the basketball program is big, and it's beyond who's in the stands. And in general, it probably does eliminate some of the people that would come into the game, because it's just as easy to watch it on your. My own parents have said they like the idea of having a fire going and a black. You know,
I have done that. I have to be honest.
A scotch,
There have been some times where, you know, I may have come to a game, you know, on a Saturday, say a Saturday night. Maybe hockey or maybe basketball, and I'm like, you know, I can just watch it. But
yeah, that's why what we've implemented this year is we have our staff, while our kids are warming up, they kind of work the crowd, and they go and introduce themselves and welcome people, because we want that touch and to really be grateful for their bodies, you know. And take the Harvard game, for example. At home, we beat them by about 40, and we had a very, very full house. And then at Harvard, it was, you know, now Harvard's one of those teams that's 18 points better at home, right? So they're a tough out at their place. And you know, we had a pretty good fan section there too, but not quite as big as obviously as we have at our place. So,
but I think what's interesting is just, you know, I'm sitting on a bus watching your game live and taking it for granted that I could do that. And I was watching your game on my laptop and I was watching the hockey game on my phone.
That's so awesome.
Because the hockey game wasn't an Ivy League Network game because they were playing, St. Lawrence and Clarkson.
Okay.
Or else I could have watched them both on my, computer. But I just feel like I look back at like all the time that I've been in communications here, and the things that have really mattered It's when we first got a webpage that just enabled us to connect with people everywhere, across all of our sports and the Ivy League network. And you know, the Ivy League network began as, and what it is now, are sort of night and day, and it continues to move in
a good direction, without a doubt.
I mean, the exposure that it brings is great.
Yeah, and I, you know, also I'm able to watch. So Friday night, we're driving from Dartmouth to Harvard, and, you know, I'm able to break the game down right away. And, you know, I've got some players at midnight in my room going over the game that we just played and ready for the game we're upcoming. So, yeah, the technology has made our game a really great teaching environment.
So watching the game against Harvard, it seemed like it was one of those nights.
Yeah.
And, you know, I want to give the credit to Harvard for that. But at what point as a coach do you start to sense something is off here?
You know, I thought by halftime, you know, we were only down three. We were up, I think it was 25 to 22 or something like that. And, you know, we had said, hey, guys, I really can't believe we're in this game based on we haven't even started yet. You know, defensively, you've given yourself a great chance. But, you know, you just haven't even started offensively. We missed a lot of easy shots or open shots, I should say, in the first half. And that kind of shelled us up. And so our inside game and kind of our stars, per se, our starters, they sort of shelled up in a way that we hadn't seen. And, you know, I kind of, at halftime, we said we're either going to show up offensively or we're just going to drive back to Princeton and start over next weekend. And I guess we opted for option B at that point.
So I was watching on the bus, and that's the first time I've taken the bus to a game since 1996. When I actually took the bus to Harvard, but because I've driven to every game since. But one thing the ability to develop a team chemistry, culture, to pass down traditions from class to class, a lot of that happens on the bus, I would think. And I think that each team has its own ways of doing things on the bus. Now, one thing I'll say is that when you're traveling with, you know, 40-plus lacrosse players versus 15 or whatever basketball players, you guys must be able to spread out.
For sure.
We were just wedged
in
everywhere.
Well, they're also giant humans, right? So that's they need two seats. But, yeah, that's sacred time. Locker room, bus time. I mean, that's just sacred time. And, you know, they're playing headphone karaoke or they're you know, playing other such games that are connected to them or they're telling stories. But there's a cohesion and a collection amongst, and just the games are often won in the locker room and on the bus. And I think our kids do a good job of making sure they understand that.
And, you know, for me, I mean, it was the first bus trip of the year. So, like, I would think that each year develops a little bit of its own uniqueness. But I just wanted to make sure I wasn't, like, in the wrong seat and, like, doing something to throw off. Like, because I think that, you know, and one thing I thought of as we were driving is, I think this could be overstated a bit, but a lot of what happens on the field or on the court or in the pool or on the ice or whatever, I think that's a function of a lot of little details along the way. And yeah,
no doubt.
I mean, it helps to have like the better players and the better coaches and the, you know, make shots and all that stuff. But still, I felt like, you know, as you see a team go through an entire trip and the attention to detail and the
focus. That
really sort of plays out when you actually are playing the game.
Yeah, no, very much. It's a good pickup. I mean, we'll even that, you know, if our administrative rep or, you know, our faculty fellow is going to come on the bus, I think at first they worry that they're going to sort of mess with the mojo. And I always say that there is no rhythm to competitive athletics, right? There's just every game has a unique challenge. And our kids' ability to maneuver that means we don't need to be stuck in rigid routines and whatnot. So no one's ever a distraction. Also, how you treat people, how you treat your teammates, how you treat the bus driver, how you treat your staff, how the bus is cleaned after you leave, how the locker room looks when you leave if you're an away team. What your handshake looks like when you win and lose, it should be no different. I mean, these are things that directly correlate to team culture, as you say.
Yeah, I agree with that. And I think that it was a reminder this weekend. I was, like, impressed with how they carried themselves and the way they paid attention to details. And I could see those things over time, you know, that if you have a team that, you know, it's just a collection of individuals and, you know, oh, yeah, you know, he was 2 minutes late or she's three minutes late or, you know, or...
Selfish,
you know, there's garbage on the floor, but somebody else will pick it up.
Exactly.
That kind of stuff.
Then you don't go to the offensive glass. Those guys don't take charges. Those guys don't make the extra pass. Yeah, you're right.
So, as for your team where you are now, moving ahead to this weekend.
Awesome.
So you've got the two games this weekend.
Yeah.
And you've put yourself in a position to play for a championship on your home court, which is, you know, the first goal every year. And, what is your sense as you head into that? I'm not saying like a prediction, but like how you feel.
I just couldn't be proud of our seniors. I mean, to think that what they have been able to accomplish and how they've been able to get the pieces on our group. We have a very young team. Three of our top four scorers are freshman, sophomore, and the seniors' ability to maintain accountability and consistency, as well as maintain the joy that basketball brings. I think that the tone of the team is reflected in the personality of its leaders, and I have such great respect and admiration for our senior class. And I'm not sure I would have been able to guess that 2 years ago in terms of their ability when it was their turn to lead the team the way they have. So this is going to be a chance for us to celebrate our seniors. And I think what makes athletics fun is when you play your best when your best is needed. And so I'm going to rely on our seniors to make sure that we're playing our best this weekend when we have a chance. I said to yesterday in the before practice, I said to the team, if you had known going into the season in August that you'd be playing for an Ivy championship in your own control at home, we all would have signed on for that. And here we've earned it. So I just hope that we're able to continue doing what we do, which is bring our best when the best is needed.
So first time around, it was a relatively difficult night at Yale. That was the game where you came off of the 20-day exam break, and that was a game where, I forget exactly, but 8-for-12 from three in the first
half
was Yale. And then you turned around the next night and beat Brown relatively, I don't want to say easily, but convincingly. Mm-hmm. What happens the second time around? So now, are you, like, given the stakes, given the fact that Yale really took it to you in that first game, mm-hmm. and given the fact that you beat Brown, by a comfortable margin, like, does any of that matter as you...
No, I think for us it's the fact that Friday night we're playing for an Ivy title, and once that gets taken care of, then Saturday night we're playing for whatever's left. Is that still the Ivy title? Is that outright? Is that senior night? Is that securing the number one seed? I mean, lots of different things. So, all I know is that last time Brown was here, they beat us.
So the other thing is I'm almost positive of this, that if you win on Friday and mm-hmm. Penn wins on Friday, then you'll clinch the league. Penn will be the second seed, Harvard will be the third seed, and Yale will be the fourth seed, no matter what else happens.
Right.
Which means you would play Yale Saturday night and then the next game.
Yep.
Does that affect you at all? Also, because
no.
You could also be playing for an outright championship.
Yeah. No, I think it's, for us, it's honestly, it's 1 weekend at a time, 1 game at a time. And we play Brown, who plays very differently than with two very different game plans, Friday, Saturday. And we need our top group, our stars need to play better this weekend than they did last weekend. And I'm very confident that they will.
So as you head into the weekend, so Saturday you mentioned Senior Day, and I mentioned National Girls Women in Sports Day, mm-hmm. and I've always thought that that's a great event that we have here, which is the clinic for all the kids and all that kind of stuff.
No doubt.
I don't know how close you've ever been able to pay attention to that because you're getting ready to play a game, but like, have you ever just glanced out?
Oh, big time. Yeah, I think that's what it's for, is to say, women in our, or now young girls in our country now have sport choice. So, I mean, obviously I'm a basketball coach. I'd like the tall ones to choose basketball. But I'm just happy that sport is something that is a prevalence for opportunity for young girls.
And what was that like when you were a kid?
It was, from New Hampshire, you played soccer. That's what you did. So I played soccer, basketball, and tennis all through. My mom felt it was important to play an independent sport.
Did you ever feel like there was, the opportunities for the boys were greater than the opportunities for you?
I went to a really progressive public high school, so maybe not. And my mom was the two-sport athlete in college. My dad played ice hockey at RPI. But I think for the
Your
most...
Your dad played hockey at RPI?
Yeah. My brother played at Colgate. Yeah. So I think for the most part, it was more normal back then that you had way less choice. We didn't have lacrosse, for example. It just wasn't an option, right? But in terms of like doubleheaders and things like that, women were treated really well at the high school I went to, and partly because we were having so much success.
So it's Princeton on Friday night against Brown, that's a 6:30 tip, and then Saturday it'll be 5 o'clock start against Yale.
Yep.
And just to run it down again for where it all stands. So Princeton is a game ahead of Penn with 2 games to play. And having swept Penn, the tiebreaker then becomes
ours,
head-to-head. So you have the tiebreaker over Penn. If you win one of your last two, you're guaranteed to be the number one seed in the Ivy League tournament. If you win one of your last two, lose two and Penn loses two, but Yale doesn't win two, I think, because isn't Yale now 2 games back? Yale has four. Yale and Harvard have four.
I think Yale has five. I don't know. I think all that matters is those people that are listening that care most about Princeton is that take care of business, win the first game.
You get a chance, share a championship.
Exactly, and just know that I got to say, Jerry, having won so many, this sounds kind of otherworldly in terms of other girl problems, but we had won so many a couple years ago that you kind of get used to it. And I think last year in particular, it just reminds you of how hard it is to win. And it's really hard to win an Ivy title, and I'm really looking forward to earning one this weekend.
Yeah, I don't think I don't think there's too many people who take that for granted, no matter how heavily favored a team is going into a season. When they get to the point where they're playing for the championship, it's right there. You want to make sure you grab it and don't let it get away. And I've seen examples where teams have let ones get away, and I've seen examples where teams haven't let them get away. And, you know, it's a big thing.
Yeah, I feel like 2 years ago, right? 2 years ago, which was Annie and Michelle and Wheats and their senior year, you know, we came in second. We had a chance to win it on the last night. And then last year, again, came in second. Like, second doesn't matter. It's first or anybody else. So I appreciate the sustained success, but it's really hard to be the one, and that's what we're going for this weekend.
On the other hand, if you didn't finish second, you wouldn't have had the sort of history-making at-large bid to the NCAA.
That's the thing. It's the best loss I've ever had. You're right. That will go down as the best loss I've ever had in my life, because now we're also the very first ever to win an at-large bid.
So the two games this weekend, and we'll talk about those next weekend and next week during the week, and we'll look ahead to the Ivy League tournament, which, you know, the four teams are going to be Princeton, Penn, Harvard, and Yale. They'll be at the Palestra on the 10th and 11th. I will make sure 100% that I know the correct start times for those games when we talk next week.
That sounds great, and I'll just shout out to my seniors. Hope they have a great weekend.
In the meantime, thank you for being with us this week, and we look forward to talking again next week.
Sounds great.
This has been the latest episode of the Court Report. For Princeton women's basketball coach Courtney Maghart, I'm Jerry Price, once again saying thank you for your support of Princeton women's basketball.